I'm Katharina Grosse, and I'm from Berlin, and I'm a painter. I've been invited by Mural Arts to do something with them.
Mural Arts is normally known for figurative work, and for a long time now, about 3,000 times, over 3,000 times, they've painted on walls, and a lot of times it's very narrative. It's based on the community that the wall is in. It's based on stories and people in that community, and it sends a message, the intention of it to send a message, and this is very different. This is much more abstract. Is there a narrative to this? Do you see this as this whole 5-mile-long corridor as messaging something, even though we can't literally read it?
I think it's not a narrative. I think it is more about things that seem to contradict one another, like the painting that I do getting together or colliding with an existing building that is also an image already, you know. And in my sense, it's more about maybe the contrast, the contradiction, maybe the paradox of things that don't normally exist together, but you put them together in a way that all of a sudden you see them in one situation, and that's a paradox feeling, which is a weird feeling.
I think one of the ways this looks as astonishing is the way you paint across these landscapes. It's indiscriminate. You paint on the ground, and then you paint on a building, and then you paint on a tree, and then you, and then there's a gap where a broken window might be. And there's the objects don't have boundaries anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a great description, actually. And that's maybe where I kind of like to use the power that color has to have not a defined location. Color can be anywhere. It is atopic. It has not a ground where it has to stay, and then it may not trespass. In that sense, I can kind of break up hierarchies. I can break up the relations between certain things, like a big object and a small object all of a sudden become one because the color kind of unifies them.
In your past work, you painted on a lot of different kinds of objects. Mm-hmm. You painted on sculptures that you made. You painted inside Mass MoCA in Boston, the entire interior of a very large building. You painted on an abandoned house in New Orleans after a Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. And now you're painting on these abandoned buildings in Philadelphia, or some abandoned buildings in Philadelphia. I'm wondering, the objects that you choose to paint on, how do these landscapes and these buildings, do they have any say in how you paint them?
Yeah, in an indirect way, maybe. But my painting is more like a strange thing to happen to a situation. It's like a stranger coming into the door and maybe not really behaving in line with the given rules, you know. That's the interesting thing. If you have the warehouse, which has a three-dimensional spatial condition, of course, as every architecture has, painting doesn't have that. Painting doesn't have a three-dimensional space. Painting is a multi-dimensional space, and you can't measure the space that painting is showing. So painting can never behave like the surface it lands on. So I think it is really interesting to actually stress that ability of painting to not follow the materialized world's conditions. It is strange. It is in between thinking and making something. And that's a great thing that painting can do, and that's why I love it so much as a contemporary medium, because it is an amazing intermediate between the body and the thinking. Because most of the images that we deal with in our daily life are coming from a screen or from a photograph. But the image-making abilities I have with painting are different. They are not like a body, but they are not like a photo. They're in between. They're giving me a lot of information about my senses, about my thinking, about my feeling, that I sometimes can't grasp so easily anymore from a homogeneous image.
This is not just a location. We're talking about the specifics of how you apply paint, but this is a 5-mile stretch of a rail corridor. And the primary audience is going to be people on trains looking out the window. And your painting and your work is going to be flashing past them very quickly. Hopefully the train passengers will have a chance to contemplate what they're seeing, and trains are a great place to contemplate things, I've found. But they won't have a chance to examine them very, very closely or very deeply, because it comes and it's gone very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I can only do what you've been doing, like imagine what it would be like, how it really will be for you to see it. I don't know. I mean, I've never done that kind of project, so that's the first time we're doing that kind of thing. So your eyes are kind of being shot by the object you want to see. But on the other hand, there's the element of repetition. So a lot of these people might commute, and maybe they know the project then after a little while, and maybe they will wait for something next time they pass by the warehouse or the trestles or the bridge, you know. So I don't know how that's going to pan out. It's going to be interesting to find out.
I want to go back to something you mentioned about how the painted surface reacts to the paint rather reacts to its surface. Mm-hmm. Because you're painting, a lot of the buildings that you're painting on have been there for a very long time and they haven't changed much. Well, they've decayed. Mm-hmm. If they've changed at all, they've decayed. But they're huge and they're solid and there's something that seems permanent about them, even though sometimes we hope they would change because they sometimes are eyesores. But you come in and you have a very fluid vision of laying paint. The way you lay paint suggests change and fluidity, breaking down of barriers and a breaking down of objects. And you're painting on top of these enormous objects that haven't moved in generations.
It is a little bit like painting with watercolors in very difficult circumstances. I think the mentality of that industrial debris and that very watercolory kind of, even though gigantic, painting is very, they're very strange things to bring together, you know. I mean, I'm coming from an industrial area myself. I was brought up in the Ruhr area in the middle of Germany, which had to handle all these old industrial structures because Germany is not so big, so we can't just afford to let them decay and not use the space they're sitting on. So there have been these huge efforts to kind of make them into institutions or maybe industrial museums or new schools or whatever. They try to recycle the leftovers of that era. And I mean, the other thing that you are saying is the permanence or the temporariness of my work in relationship to something that seems so permanent. But I don't really see it that way. I do think that we are changing the world every time we look at it. I don't think that things are so stable, really. Which makes me come back to something you said about the velocity that you ride by the painting and you don't see it. You don't have time to actually look at it. And I think that's what you do with everything you see, really. I think we're very swift with a lot of things. We pick up things so fast, sometimes even out of the angle of our eyes. And nevertheless, sometimes you see something, even though you've seen it for a second, you know so much about it. And sometimes you look at something for hours and you don't get it at all. I think that's a fascinating ability we have. We select, if we need to, really fast.
I'm speaking with Katerina Grossa. She's the creator of Psyche Lustro along the North Philadelphia Amtrak rail corridor. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks, Peter.